The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Loveline, the world's therapy couch since 1984. Loveline. Dr. Drew Pinsky, medical doctor, philosopher, philanthropist, certified addiction specialist, the king of transformational media. Mike Catherwood, a former addict, current fitness guru, the ringmaster of a psychosexual addictive personality, Big Top.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Gus, get on with it.
Yes! You live.
Who's your daddy, bitch?
Oh,
you live. You live. Yes!
Oh, dude, I am pumped for this evening. It's been a great, like, the last month or so has just been awesome here on Loveline because we've been inviting in a lot of really interesting people, and a good line share of them are people that I'm, like, big fans of. And it's always, you know, it's one of the big kind of fringe benefits of this show and having this job is that I get to meet people that I really admire their work and stuff. And tonight is, like, I'm at the apex of having someone on the show that I admire their work, and that is Mr. Eric Andre of The Eric Andre Show. He is really just such a funny guy.
We loved his Stern interview.
Oh, it's just next level.
And it kept going all the way into the hallway with Lisa and everybody.
His co-star Hannibal Buress. I mean, they are both on fire on Stern.
Well, and now that Hannibal's gone to next level with the whole Cosby thing.
Yeah. I got a lot of hate for something I tweeted about, or a picture I put up of Bill Cosby today.
Uh-oh. What'd you say? Or do?
Why don't you go look on Instagram, at Mike Catherwood. And,
uh-oh.
Anyway, screw it. I don't care. Eric Andre, really, just a clever dude. And I grew up.
Did you tweet it also, or just Facebook?
Just Instagram, but then I also connected it to Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
But I grew up really.
Oh, there it is.
Wanting so desperately.
Oh, that was you. I liked it.
Yeah. I'm talking here.
Okay.
I grew up so desperately wanting to be one of these kind of caricature, phony, kind of like farcical talk show guys. Growing up, I loved, of course, you know, Tom Green when I was a little older. I really got, you know, really got blown away by Sacha Baron Cohen and all his, and then now Colbert with his kind of character in his final week, unfortunately, but this character that he creates to kind of almost strengthen the interview because you can get different things out of different people because you come at it from a kind of a wild character. It's almost like your restrictions are let off because you're being a quote unquote character.
Yeah.
And I always loved people who did that. Jiminy Glick, you know, when Martin Short would be Jiminy Glick. And that idea just always fascinated me.
And now
Eric Andre is just like going next level. And I also am fascinated by Eric. I'm just such a huge fan. But I'm also fascinated by him because he, alongside his co-star Hannibal, break a lot of the hard, fast rules that I have for black guys.
How's that? The hard, fast rules?
Yeah, well, Drew, you know how I always say... black guys don't engage in tomfoolery. Like, I got my ass kicked by, like, I like to waft farts in my friends' faces, but I do it to my black friends or, like, my Hispanic friends. I'm getting knocked the F out.
Yeah, they kick your ass.
But Eric, all for nudity and dick and puke and farts, like, that's all fun and games for Eric. That's, like, right on his menu. So I got to understand, like, how he's been able to break the mold. Him and also Hannibal Buress and Tyler, the Creator, are the two black guys I've ever seen who love showing off their like just love it to like show other dudes their dick.
Just they're contrarians.
Yeah. I love it. Don't get me wrong. The more dick, the merrier. That's always been my.
You've always said that.
My credo here at Loveline. Eric Andre later on this evening. Alex, hello. Thank you for calling Loveline.
Hi. What's up? I recently got engaged, and over the last, it's only been about 2 days now, but my girlfriend or fiance started cutting, and I know she needs to talk to someone about it, and she needs to tell someone, but I want to know if there's anything else I can do to help her.
No, there is not. It's going to take a long time with the highly trained professionals, but you can get her to treatment.
Okay.
Do not try to be her treating mental health professional. Even if you were one, it would not be your role. and you certainly are not one. So you have no business meddling in that. But you certainly, absolutely should get her to the proper care. It's a sign of severe distress. Severe. It's a primitive way to try to regulate cutting oneself.
Okay.
All right, dude.
Yep.
And if she's in, is she in school? Oh, well.
No, sorry.
Go on.
I apologize. Alyssa.
Hello?
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
What up, yo?
Not much. What's up with you guys?
What'd you say that was so funny there, Mike?
I don't know.
You're such a card, dude.
So I married my sister-in-law over the weekend.
You literally performed the ceremony.
I was officiating.
Yeah.
And because of that, my family, my sister's, my wife and her sister, who was the bride, and congratulations to her. She's on cloud nine, and the guy's a great guy. But because of that, the family flew in from all corners of the globe. All these people.
Nobody spoke English.
Goddamn, half of the wedding didn't speak English.
Half or like 95%?
No, like half.
Because you were going to unload in English,
Well, you told me. This is why.
Oh.
Because I drove to a taping of Undateable with my wife's show with the fam in the back.
Yeah.
And the family member from Romania is the back. And she's just laughing at everything I say.
Oh.
And I'm like, man, sure is rainy.
Held a person.
60.
Oh, my.
So I was like, man, I got to travel with Romanians.
It's like having a laugh track your life.
I felt like Louis C.K. or something. Yeah. I was like the funniest guy that's ever lived, you know? Oh. All right.
Maybe there's a whole career for you in Romania.
Hello, Alyssa.
Hi.
Not happy people.
What's going on?
I have a question.
Yes.
So I feel like I can't relate to guys my age anymore because I've been seeing a bunch of older guys.
Well, hold on now.
Let's get this straight. The fact that you have been dating older guys has disconnected you or made it less appealing to date people your age?
Yeah, but okay. I'd rather date people my age.
All right. And what
but
is it about?
I feel like I can't go back.
And what is it about these older guys that specifically have made it so alluring that you can't go back?
So what?
Alluring. So compelling.
What is so attractive about older men to you?
I think it's the experience.
Meaning what?
Like the travel involved, the shopping, like
money.
All that.
They have money. Okay. So the fact that they have money to spend on you, that makes it impossible to be with a peer.
Wait, hold on. By the way, makes sense. If I'm a 20-year-old girl and a guy has his life together and a house and money, I understand like not wanting to be with a college-age dude. It's like.
Yeah.
College age dudes suck. I mean, as far as having something to offer.
They have no, what's the word we're looking for? No
game.
No game. Nothing going on. No game.
So that's totally okay, though?
No.
Yes and no.
Well, it's understandable.
Yes.
But it's not okay.
Just like, God, I was about
and
to
by
say,
the way.
I was about to say something that I would not
Well, let me put it well. This way. How about the 40-year-old guys that are dating the 20-year-old and not dating the 40-year-old? What do you figure it's so alluring to them about a 20-year-old that they're not dating 40 and 45-year-olds?
Oh, well, duh. I mean,
so what do you figure is going to happen when he's 60 and you're 40? What's going to happen to you?
Oh, wow, real life.
Yeah, well, real life will be... He'll still be interested in 20-year-olds.
Like developmentally disabled? What's going on?
I know.
What do you mean? Drew brings up a good point. You know, it's alluring to you right now, but what are you getting out of it aside from the fact that they can take you shopping?
Well, if that's all you're getting out of it, you're in the long run, there's not going to be anything else. And all they're getting out of it is sex with a 20-year-old, and they're going to consistently want a 20-year-old.
Oh, I guess. Well... I don't know what my thinking was there. Like, long term, I just, like, right now it makes sense, but, like, I feel like I can't go back, and that's my issue.
Well, I understand. Honestly, it's understandable, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily good. Like I was going to say, like cheating on your wife.
Yeah.
It's very understandable. There's a lot of women in the world. I'd rather have sex with a lot of them than my wife, just my wife. But it's not okay. You make a commitment, you do something. It's understandable that you want to be with older men because they buy you stuff, but it's not okay. You know, it's really not good for your soul. But, Alyssa, I also have to say, you got to kind of fine-tune what you look at as older. Why not date 27-year-old guys?
Yeah, even 30-year-old guys.
You know, and kind of split the difference, and you might be better off.
Okay. Anyway. Whatever.
They're definitely not with her for compelling arguments and inspiring
high-level conversation. Yeah.
Hello, Anthony. How's Cleopatra?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
Doing great.
All right, so I'm dating a transgender woman, and no one has known about it. I told two of my friends about it. They're okay with it. She recently met my mom, or I introduced her to my mom, and I guess my mom probably didn't know that she's a transgender, but who knows, maybe later down the line she might know that it is. But my question is, should I tell people that I'm dating a transgender or let them find out for themselves?
I don't think it's anybody's business.
Yeah, why get into it?
Yeah.
I mean, would you, like, let's say your partner was a natural blonde and she dyed her hair redhead. Would you be like, should I go around telling people that she's a natural blonde, or should I just let them find out on their own? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's just a human being. That ended of that. And I'm sure she will tell people that she feels comfortable telling and not worry about it. You know, so you just worry about making her happy.
One thing that she told me before is that, I guess she said that I'm the bravest guy that she's met, because most of the guys that she's dated before never wanted to go out or wanted to go out as much because they're always afraid that someone's going to know that they're with a transgender. But with her,
well, that's nice.
It doesn't matter. Like,
You don't care. Good.
That's good for you, man.
That's, you're with the right person. Fine.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that you've made her feel good about herself and that you are a very confident and poised dude. So why F with it? You know, just run with it.
Yeah.
It seems like things are going good, and just. I appreciate the fact that you're with someone that you like and cares, makes you feel good about yourself, and vice versa.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Let's get Eric in here.
All right, fine. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Eric Andre Show in the middle of its third season on the Adult Swim. It's kind of like Thursday night, but it's really, it's the earliest possible show on Friday morning. It's like 12:05 a.m. Friday morning.
Leads all other late night talk shows in men 18 to 34.
Because it's friggin' awesome. Eric's the creator, star of the show, The Eric Andre Show. AdultSwim.com, EricAndre.com. We're going to bring him in here on Loveline.
Loveline, helping people get unscrewed up for 30 years.
Dr. Drew is the best.
No lecturing, no sermonizing.
Loveline will be right back.
Come with me inside the machine and I'll show you.
You heard me correctly. 90%. That's like if you divided your life up into 10 parts, 9 of them, you're in your underwear. And your underwear, because you're in your underwear so much, it gets old fast. And because of the area that your underwear covers, you don't want to keep it around long. I don't want to get too detailed. You know what I'm saying? Putting on old, saggy underwear, it sucks. And I know this. Me, Michael D. Catherwood from Loveline, I know this because I have no ass. I have very muscular thighs and whatnot because I lift weights and all that. No butt on the Mikester. I'm like anti-Kardashian. I'm like bizarro Kardashian. No butt. So I need like strong, well-made, great underwear. And that's why I love MeUndies.com. MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear you will ever wear. I guarantee it. I put my name on it. It's truly crazy how good they make your like pelvis area feel. They fit perfectly. They don't ride up on you, and they literally whisk moisture away from your skin so you stay cool. They have cool styles too, by the way. They don't look all janky. They don't just perform right and they make you look like some idiot at the gym who's got man boobs and like a sleeveless shirt on. No, they're solid, well-made, stylish underwear for men and women. You gotta go check out photos for yourself at MeUndies.com. The quality you would typically retail, the quality of MeUndies that would typically retail for like 2 times the price, no. They don't have a middleman, so the savings go right to you in your pocket. I'll make it easy. Go to MeUndies.com/Loveline, get 20% off your first order and free shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. They guarantee they're going to make you happy because your first pair is free. Once you feel MeUndies on your body, you're never going back. But you get that 20% off. You have to go to MeUndies.com/Loveline. Boom.
Happy holidays from all your friends here at PodcastOne.com, home of The Adam Carolla Show, Steve Austin, Sean and Larry King, Snooki, Dan Patrick, Brandy Glanville, Chael Sonnen, Kathy Lee Gifford, Ross Matthews, and so many more.
So many more.
Shows that are perfect to keep a smile on your face all holiday season long.
Happy holidays, everybody!
Then when 2015 hits, we'll hit the ground running with some exciting new shows from really big names.
Awesome!
It's our holiday gift to you right here at PodcastOne.com. PodcastOne.com.
Yeah, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. AdultSwim.com has all the information on one of the best shows on television, period.
Period.
People.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Anderson. After a leading
Mike,
like that,
reach
can you
over
turn on
there.
Mic?
There you go.
Sibilance. I made a Squidbillies joke, and it just tanked because the mic was down. I'm out of here.
There it is.
Can I get some bass? Take a little bass.
Turn the bass in my headphones.
I'm in my zone right now, son.
Eric Andre in the middle of his third season of the Eric Andre Show on that there, the Adult Swim.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Truly a pleasure, man. It's great to have you.
I appreciate it.
Where are you from? Where's your
Boca Raton, Florida? The lamest place on earth.
Maybe that's where the tomfoolery came from.
That's where all the tomfoolery and the shenanigans came from. We were rascals. We were rapscallions.
Eric Andre, do you back me up that is not a typical kind of trait for the African-American male?
Yeah, you know, the other half is Jewish, so. Yeah.
Oh, that explains everything.
But what's Hannibal's excuse?
Hannibal doesn't take his penis out. Hannibal keeps it in his pants. Is that the tomfoolery you refer to?
No, I mean,
Hannibal's like the straight man.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy when Hannibal Buress is your straight man.
Yeah.
You're like, you have to be a real live wire.
He's the perfect.
But I mean, like, you agree that, like, for instance, I've always said on this show that I remember clearly, you know, I have a very weird kind of view on it being half Mexican and half white and growing up in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and having, like, a white last name. In that I loved...
Half
like
robot,
like kick. I am. I'm an android. I love like kicking my friends in the dick and vice versa. They liked it. Like we got enjoyment out of
like
picking a booger on and wiping it on my friend. But then I do that to like my Mexican cousin. I will get punched in the face.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. I mean, look at the Odd Future guys. Yeah. They're all kicking each other in the dick.
Yeah, they are. It's a kind of a jackass world.
Yeah,
It's
the 21st century. But definitely in high school, I would have gotten. Street Fighter, uppercutted,
Saget style punch.
Yeah, totally. Tiger uppercut.
Are you kind of relieved, or is it? Does it give you kind
I
of?
I thought you were about to say, "Are you kind of religious?" I was like, "Why is he?" What?
I don't really care. Is there any?
Yes,
type
I have
of,
some pamphlets I'd like you to read.
Is there any type of like benefit to the fact that you are on Adult Swim at 12:15 at night?
Yeah,
in
we
that
can do whatever we want.
In that, I'm sure it's you know. Look, you're not. Stephen Colbert, you're not Jon Stewart in that you're getting this worldwide kind of promotion. But at the same time, you as a comedian, you have so much more liberty.
No, total creative freedom. They're the best network. They let us
That's
do
what Seth
we
Green
want.
Always said. He said they are just so supportive and
so
they let
supportive,
you do anything. Yeah.
So nurturing. Well, they have a good the few notes they do give are really good and smart and informed and they're the president over there, he's like a mentor to me. He's the guy that created Space Ghost, and he's just got great ideas. And
well, yeah, you could see how Space Ghost is like a real like
huge
a descendant
influence.
To what you do.
Yeah, huge influence.
I don't oftentimes know because when you get interviewed, you're very like sharp and you're very there's a lot of transparency to like what you're doing and what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But on the show, I oftentimes lose myself. In knowing what's real and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, you know, of course. Yeah. And I wonder, like, as a performer, do you sometimes get lost? Do you ever...
Well, I'm on so much...
Right now he's lost.
I'm totally lost now. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Culver City.
Yeah.
And on the show, I'm
the
on tons of
The nebulous Culver
acid,
City.
So, do I get lost? No. I mean, we're improvising almost the entire time. And sometimes it's not good at all.
Yeah.
And you'll get stuck in a rut where just nothing coming out of my mouth is good. And that can last for like the majority of the interview till the very end. So, sometimes I'm just like, sucks.
Do you have like, Do you have like kind of like fail safe type? Like, you know how like when people apply for college, I did not, but
yeah,
I know that
no.
you have like your Harvard at the top and then you have like your community college. That's a little guarantee thing.
Little thing we do called editing. And it makes us shine. It's like shine the turd.
Huh.
We do cutaways where we'll like, anytime there's like a raccoon by my feet, like nibbling at the desk, or like Hannibal has some absurd prop, or he's like eating a sandwich or something that like would be impossible in real time to fly in, that those are shot separately as like single cutaways.
So
we'll like throw those on if we don't know what to do with an interview. And the band's not even there while we shoot. So like everything. Yeah,
that's
everything,
an added layer,
Yeah, and that's an added layer. The stagehand guy is an added layer. So we have those as like backups.
It's got to be because I mean, I guess the prospect of spending an entire day working and then getting nothing to take home, it would probably be just like so discouraging.
Some interviews are easier to cut than others, but we'll make it work. And the show is 15 minutes long, so it doesn't have to be that good.
Liberating.
We'll just make it really super short if it sucks.
Eric Andre of The Eric Andre Show, an excellent show, very funny guy. He joins us tonight on Loveline. Joel, you have a question for our guest?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again. Once again, Mike, you're a god. Dr. Drew, passionate man from the X-Men. Eric Andre, man, your show is my ADD come to life.
Great.
It's fantastic.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
This season, and not to diss any of the other seasons, but it's just been outrageous.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
I really think that when Hannibal hosted his own show, That episode was just beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Thank you for shutting down Lauren Conrad.
That was nuts.
No, she doesn't like me, but I love her. So,
we got to ranch it up, man.
Ranch it up, bro. Ranch me.
I just had a question. Actually, I'm seeing Hannibal here, and not to plug anything, but seeing Hannibal this weekend here in Kansas City. But are you going to tour your show ever again?
We did it for the first two seasons, and we didn't do it this year. I think it's really expensive. So I think that like Adult Swim's like, yeesh, let's pump the brakes on just setting our wallets on fire.
And also,
but hopefully next year.
Man.
Yeah, and I was shooting a show for FXX up in Canada, so. But
what is that?
We're doing a new show on FXX called Man Seeking Woman. It's Jay Baruchel, the guy from all the Judd Apatow movies. This is The End and Knocked Up. He's in, and Simon Rich. He's a Saturday Night Live writer. He created the show.
So I know a guy who writes on it. It looks very funny.
Yeah. It's really funny. I'm stoked about it. So yeah, I've been busy. Sorry, buddy. But I want to come to your town soon. Where are you in Kansas?
I'm in Topeka.
He left a long time ago. See ya.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What's up?
You know, I just have a question, actually, about an ex-lover of mine.
Yeah. Ooh. This is for Eric, then.
Yeah. So, basically, I was really good friends with him, and now we're not because he's dating another girl, but I'm wondering how I can still be friends with him. Mm. Also, I love you, Eric. You're amazing.
I love you, too, boo.
Why is it important to be friends with him?
We had a really good friendship going. Like, we dated over 2 years ago, broke up, and then it took us a long time to kind of, like, be friends again. But, like, I just really like hanging out with him. I think he's, like, awesome and really funny.
Are you holding a torch for him, as it were?
No. See, that's the thing. Like, I'm not, like, into him anymore at all, like, sexually.
Then let him be till the girlfriend gets comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, just for her sake, even.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, like, I don't want it to be weird and, like...
It will be.
They kind of act like, you know, I've like, I don't know, they've killed my cat and like haven't told me yet. Like every time I see them at a party.
No, what you don't understand is that
you're the ex.
You guys have had sex.
Yeah, you're the ex.
So it doesn't feel cool to be around you.
Don't listen to these guys. Have sex with the both of them. See what happens.
If you can pull that off, yeah.
I mean, she's hot.
Just go for it.
What are the...
Give him some of the Bill Cosby drugs and go home.
Give him the Bill Cosby cocktail and munch labes.
Munch labes.
What would you do, like, if they approached you with that? How much would you be into the idea of, like, munching box?
Actually, I've never thought about it before. If it was, like, right circumstances, I think I might be down.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, if he was right circumcised, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Then you know what? If you really want to get back in their life, that's a good way to go. I mean, that's a good little piece of bait to be like, hey, guys want to Eiffel Tower me? Drew, this is a question for you. Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
Yes.
How
far away from your phone are you?
Phone's outside the house.
Is that better?
Yeah, much. Thank you.
Husband recently went to the doctor, and they told him to increase his libido. He needed to masturbate, and it's not really something he is into. I was wondering if there was something else he could do.
Well, how old is he?
He's in his 30s. He's on medications that decrease his libido.
Okay.
What medication?
He can get off of.
Yeah.
What medication?
Propecia.
I'm not exactly sure. Something for nerve damage and pain.
Oh. So he's on pain pills, and he can get off.
He can, yeah.
Technically, he could, yes, but he would not be able to function.
Yes, he could. Stop it. He's a drug addict.
No, he's not.
Yes, listen. If he has quote-unquote nerve damage and he's taking pain medication that can't make him perform sexually, he is at the very least, dependent on opiates. End of story.
He can perform. He can perform. He has no drive.
I understand. Ashley, what you're not hearing is that his nerve damage
What's the nerve damage from? What is the nerve damage? What is it from?
In his ankle.
From what?
I'm sorry, what?
What is the nerve damage from?
He had surgery on his ankle, and they nicked the nerve.
Why did he have surgery on his ankle?
He sheared the cartilage and tore a bunch of tendons.
Okay, what was he doing when this happened?
He was in the military.
Okay, ooh. So was he in battle?
No.
Okay. All right, listen.
Opiates are not the way to deal with chronic pain. They're just not. He needs to get off the opiates and find other alternative therapies.
And what you and
most doctors are finally catching on to that fact.
And Drew, would you agree that
his sex drive will come back when he gets off the opiates?
And Drew, as a addiction medicine specialist, and me as a drug addict, Ashley, what we're telling you is that he in his mind very sincerely believes that he cannot stop taking
these. The pain will never go away until he gets off the pain killers.
That is real in his brain.
And I know that this sounds counterintuitive, but that's how it works. It's called hyperalgesia. It does not the pain, and he probably even has something called reflex sympathetic dystrophy. That also, even believe it or not,
I was going to say the
gets
same
better
thing, by the way.
without the opiates. He's got to get off those drugs. It's affecting his life. It's affecting his relationships. There are alternatives. He needs to pursue them. He really does.
They can do a 24-hour detox now too, right? That's suspect.
There's no reason to do that. You can get off anything in 5 days. Mm. I mean, at least opiates.
And getting off the drugs is not the hard part.
Yeah, it's staying off.
Staying off. Them.
Yeah.
A lot of people can get off opiates.
Easy.
It's just like 5, 6, 7 days later.
Way too much focus on the getting off part. That's easy.
Yeah. I've always wanted to smoke heroin, but I've never had a chance.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I used to like it a lot. But I will say, I went 2-3 years of like pretty consistent cocaine smoking.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I started mixing heroin into the mix that I started going to the hospital a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot. I'd be ending up in the emergency room.
Worth it.
So worth it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
We voted out then too.
No. That was like what I was talking about last. That was the living on the East Coast. Yeah. Like I'd wake up in New York City and just all I could see was the shadow of the birds on the ground, and I was like, I have no idea in the city where I was.
Wow. Shadow
I just
of
wake
the birds
up. Yeah.
on the ground That's is the name of your autobiography.
Eric Andre, who is working on his autobiography, Polish the Turd, which should be out in 2016. The Eric Andre Show in its third season.
Thank you.
Excellent entertainment.
Thank
you. EricAndre.com, AdultSwim.com, Thursday nights, 12:15 a.m. More with Eric straight ahead here on Loveline.
Cool.
Loveline is no longer limited to the coast-to-coast radio model.
That's true, Dr. Drew. We are now global and on demand.
Go to podcastone.com where you can download full shows right to your computer or phone and take us with you on your commute or even to work or to the gym, grocery shop, wherever you're going. Take it, download it.
The same old Loveline show that airs nightly on the radio near you. They're all now available whenever and wherever you want.
The free Loveline podcast only from Podcast One at Podcast One, podcastone.com.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Loveline's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. Vaping is daunting. With so much choices, where do you even begin? Begin at Craft Vapery, the ultimate destination for vaping made easy. The Craft curates the largest selection of top-quality vaping flavors and hardware available anywhere, delivered straight to your door. Discover and shop the very best of vaping with ease. Or subscribe and receive a monthly box of flavors handpicked by Craft's curators to match your specific tastes. Don't waste time or money with trial and error. Let Craft Vapery be your vaping guide. And as a special gift for the holidays, Craft is offering our listeners extended access to its biggest sale ever. Simply subscribe or shop at craftvapery.com and enter the promo code LOVELINE at checkout. Craft Vapery, the only way to vape. Craft Vapery. That's craftvapery.com and use the promo code LOVELINE at the checkout.
You'll save 20% off in the shop and 40% off subscriptions from now through December 31st.
Yeah! Woo! Eric Andre's booging down. Eric Andre of the Eric Andre Show is our guest this evening on Loveline. You have a problem with your dick.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God!
Hold on.
What happened?
Need a microphone. There you go.
Oh, microphone. Sibilance, sibilance,
so sibilance. Someone in here is screwing it up? He's hitting it with his elbow.
I didn't do a damn thing.
No, because his mic cord goes way over the other side.
Yeah, it couldn't be him.
All right,
go ahead.
All right, go ahead. So you have a problem with your dick.
Yeah, I don't know if I got a urinary tract infection or something. Where it was like my there's no sores or it doesn't look like anything's wrong. Just the head of my penis and like the hole are like feel a little irritated.
Okay, so
I got chlamydia.
I'm gonna have to taste it, right?
Taste test. You could taste.
And we're gonna have to do a blind taste test.
So
I'll tell you this: it tastes like Cool Ranch Doritos.
Ooh. So it could just be some non-specific skin irritation, right? That just happens to get over to the urethra. It could be a urethritis that's sort of causing some external irritation. It's associated with external irritation.
Okay.
Is it sort of turned inside out a little bit too, like a little puckering kind of?
No, I don't think so. Maybe like a little bit, but not. I haven't noticed it.
Any new contacts lately?
Any new ladies in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or contact of other sorts.
Whatever. Whatever you've been contacting.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, maybe
okay.
A little bit.
You may need some antibiotics. Just so.
Do I got chlamydia?
Or NGU or something. You know,
what's NGU?
Non-specific urethritis. Non-gonococcal urethritis.
You knew that.
Do I got to get a butt shot?
Yes. And if there's rash, if there's something on the skin, somebody should look at
like that. Anything. It's just a little uncomfortable. And it's not even like, it burns when I pee. I'm peeing
razor
blades.
But a little stingy at the tip.
It's a little like, I should drink cranberry juice.
Yeah. All things being equal, men don't get urinary tract infections at your age. They get urethritis.
Okay.
And that's usually sexually transmitted. And
okay.
Just usually a good idea to go ahead and take a dose of Zithrax or something.
Should I go to the urgent care tomorrow or something? You got your doctor. Get some shots. Where's some shots? Where are the needles at?
Last time Dr. Drew gave me a shot, I almost died. That's not a joke.
It's true. I get a flu shot. His head swelled up like a pumpkin. Given 10,000 flu vaccines, never seen one reaction. This dude gets it.
It's crazy. Like a massive face. I couldn't
melon
breathe.
Head.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Full anaphylactic
that's
reaction.
That's scary.
It was.
Yes. That's I got an EpiPen. I can't eat almonds. Same thing.
He's that
really?
Kid.
Yeah. And it wasn't. No, it's not until recently. I had no allergies growing up.
You totally have an EpiPen.
Yeah. It wasn't until like a couple years
why does
ago.
That happen, Drew? Why does it happen like later
my
in life?
Allergies get worse. That's
your body can it's sensitized to these proteins.
Wait, back to my penis.
Yeah,
so it's curable. I'm okay.
Oh yeah,
I don't have herpes.
No,
I don't have not HIV.
No.
Okay.
No, you probably have herpes.
I probably have herpes.
You might, but what you have is HPV. So you should get that HPV vaccine.
Since when do I have HPV?
Because you're
sexually
active. Everyone has it.
Everyone has it, huh?
Does that mean
I have warts?
Well, but
I've never had a wart.
You might get the warts. But the one that causes the cancer, you can protect yourself against with the vaccine. So get that goddamn vaccine.
Oh, so I can get the vaccine.
Yeah.
I've never had like a sore.
Good.
But I could have anything, right? Well, I get tested. I just got tested.
You can't test
over the summer.
You can't test for a lot of stuff with men.
Well, I tested for herpes and it said I didn't have herpes.
Yeah, it's not a very good test.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a bad test.
Was it a blood test?
Yeah.
Worthless.
What?
No, he said there's no antibodies.
It's a pretty worthless test.
So how do you test?
If you have a sore, you don't.
But what if you don't have a sore?
Then you
don't. That
is
just a mystery? You don't worry about it, but what if you're transferring?
If you have a viral, if you have a sore, you check for viral cultures.
Yeah, but and if you have a sore, then you know.
Then they check your viral load.
Just like you have some irritation right now, they could swab it and check for viral load.
Oh, so sometimes a sore is not necessarily herpes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you could have herpes and never have a sore.
Yeah.
But then you're passing it around. Then you're
not
a jerk.
Necessarily. Not
no?
necessarily, yeah.
Hmm.
Get the vaccine. Get the HPV vaccine.
I'm going to get the vaccine. I'm going to get a shot tomorrow.
Because head and neck cancer, anal cancer, and man is going whoosh, way up.
Oh, man. That sounds like a bummer.
It's what, you gotta, way bummer.
You got to get your B-hole cut off?
Drew did. Drew got his butthole ripped out.
Well,
really?
My prostate cancer, so they ripped out my
really?
Prostate. Yeah.
How are you doing? Are you okay?
Good, yeah. How do I seem? Good? Seem good?
You seem good.
You want to know the best part?
What?
He still has full sexual function, loves sex, beautiful wife, the whole thing. He doesn't shoot loads. He
Wait,
comes
so what,
and doesn't shoot a load.
What? Nothing comes out?
Right.
But you have the feeling of,
yeah, no. Everything's normal.
It's like a really? Self-cleaning oven.
That's the best.
Right.
That's an ideal. You never, because I have like all these like dish rags and like napkins all around
the
my
prostate
bed. You know what I mean?
Produces the fluid, and if you're not producing the fluid.
Oh my God, that's a dream come true.
You use a cum rag?
Yeah. I got a sock. And this is, it's goddamn.
I've never been able to come into anything. I always go to the
That's,
I always,
that's Eric, all I can do.
Eric,
I thought you had a daughter.
This is episode of one of your shows. Ask him what he does do with it.
Huh.
What do you do with your jizz?
I let it fly.
In the kitchen.
Where?
In the kitchen.
Just wherever?
Yep.
And in the kitchen.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
And then who gets it?
No, not anymore.
Who used to clean it up?
One of my dogs.
That's disgusting.
Did,
That's
he,
like
no.
a
did he clean it up?
Movie.
Did he clean it up or he just did he do something a little more interesting?
No, he would.
Did you get your dog pregnant?
She would.
You got your dog pregnant.
She would wait at the like a porn star, wait at my feet while I'm beating off. She got so good at it that she would like I'd load and she'd jump out of the sky.
You
the
have
she
had
shagged.
Sexual relations with
she
your dog.
Shagged,
That's bestiality.
She would shag my load.
Oh,
I know.
My,
but then I got.
God,
I
that
like,
is freaky.
At first, it was like the first like five times it happened.
You freaked
I was like,
out, Eric.
I was like, ah, crazy. That's nuts. So then after I realized, I was like, this is insane. And I would lock her up. I'd have to like put her in her kennel every time I beat off.
That is.
How did you concentrate with your dog? Like,
yeah, and she's a little like cutesy mutt. You know, she.
Were
just
you
there.
Looking? Were you making eye contact?
No, I was always. I was looking at my iPad Mini at youporn.com.
Oh, so your dog was here, and
yeah,
you were...
and like at first it was like I'd shoot a load and it would hit the ground and then she'd run over and be like, and I'm like, oh, it's gross. But then when she started like timing it, like she would like would sense.
Oh my
I know.
God, that is heinous.
I know.
No judgments. There's no judgments.
I don't care.
You, Mike, freaked out Eric Andre. Think about that.
I didn't, listen, I didn't drink it up like someone's vomit that I watched him slurp up. To be fair, hello, Samantha. Samantha,
get on the phone now.
Whenever I hear Samantha, not just Sam, like when people, I always think of who's the boss.
Angela,
I don't know why.
Who's the boss?
Samantha.
Tony
hello.
Yes.
There you are. What's up?
Oh, hey. Okay, so I have a question.
Yeah, I figured.
Okay, so I was dating a boyfriend, dating this guy, and all of a sudden, like, I let him, like, have sex with my friend.
Your female friend or your male friend?
Female friend.
Okay.
Yeah, and then now we've been dating longer, and...
Why is everything you say a question?
Yeah, just state.
I know.
Spit it out. Spit it out.
I've said that before. My grandma used to say that to me.
Well, because you talk like this.
Everything's a question, and I'm telling the story, and it's so funny, but I'm laughing. I don't understand why.
I know. I do that.
Okay, just state the story.
Okay, so then.
Okay.
Now I'm dating the guy, actually dating the guy. And I didn't want him to hook up with my friend anymore.
Okay, so you tell him.
Well, I've kind of mentioned it, but then, like...
But he thought you were asking a question.
Well, yeah, you got to get rid of that question cadence. That's weird. That's probably weirding him out.
Are you laughing because you're nervous, or is this how you communicate to people?
This is how I communicate.
Okay, this is not going to work. This is not going to work at all. This is what you absolutely. It's called inappropriate.
Really?
It's called inappropriate laughter, and people are going to think.
I do that.
Okay,
I do
well,
that.
You need to stop. It's okay to stop, and you need to be very direct and very serious with him, because this is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you badly, and you are entitled to ask him if he's in a committed relation with you, to go ahead and stop doing things that hurt you. Okay, that's it. Very simple. Be very Boom. Direct and very simple.
Boom.
Angelo.
Glad I could help.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Eric Andre joins us. Very, very talented young man. The Eric Andre Show, Thursday nights, 12:15 a.m. Technically, it's like really early Friday morning.
Technically.
Yeah. Excellent TV show on Adult Swim, the Eric Andre Show. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Straight ahead, we're going to talk about weed withdrawal here on Loveline.
L-O-V-E.
Don't worry. Loveline will return right after these words of wisdom.
You mean more advertising?
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191's the number. Give us a call. Eric Andre is here.
What up?
What do you bump like when you're like you're getting yourself in the creative mood? What
just like Halloween sound effects CDs, yeah. Stuff like that from that I get at CVS.
Like next time you're at K-Rock, like if you go over to Kevin and Bean or something. Well,
yeah,
you were
I just
on
this morning. Yeah.
Next time you're there, they have like an insane library of sound effects. Perfect.
Really?
Yeah,
nice.
Just,
my favorite is whoop, 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 whoop.
I like that. Or the have you ever noticed the nut like. Not nowhere near reality girl scream that they
like
only
Wilhelm like
yeah but or like if a girl gets if you watch a YouTube video where like the, you know someone scares the crap out of people like for a bit or you see real people like the hostages in Sydney no one screams like ah!
Yeah it's like that's Tarzan a, like primal yeah. Scream yeah
it only happens in ah! Like, weird, like, 50s Halloween movie, like Ed Wood movies.
Well, yeah. Benji got fingered by...
that's a good point.
Perez Hilton.
Didn't they have to do that outside of the studio?
Yes,
because
yes.
Penetration's not allowed or something
it,
like that?
They did it at Perez's, like butt effing pad. He has his house in New York. He has his apartment in New York for living, and then he has his apartment for meeting guys on Grindr. It's rad! I was, like, so impressed by that. And he went to his like effing apartment. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's brilliant. I also have body dysmorphia.
Maybe that's where the other. Oh, you mean the one I just diagnosed?
Diagnosed me with body dysmorphia.
Well, Drew, tell him.
I obsess. I'm constantly obsessing over my penis, and I'm constantly like, I know I'm getting a disease down there since I was like 14. Since I was a virgin. I'm going to get an STD.
Drew.
I'm like constantly obsessing over the health of my penis.
I've seen a syndrome repeatedly. And men out there, listen carefully.
And these I have tons guys, of anxiety.
These guys that have like a little skin reaction and then get this irritation and then just start feeling like it's always bothering them. And they'll see dermatologists and urologists one after the other.
I'm seeing
doctors. And nobody can find anything. And they get sort of pushed away by them. They come to me then after everybody else is done and frustrated. And I put them on an SSRI or something, and boom, goes away completely. And I was reading recently that they've now considered that a body dysmorphic syndrome, and that's how they treat body dysmorphia.
Time out, though. And just let me ask this question. I'm being serious. This isn't like a joke. Is that body dysmorphia, or Andrew, you can answer this with real world knowledge. Is that body dysmorphia, or is that like Jewy stuff?
It's definitely Jewy stuff.
It's a little somatizing, but the fact that it gets so much better so fast, so completely. I mean, a lot of things in psychiatry you can diagnose by how they respond to treatments.
Yeah,
and they get so completely resolved with the whiff of something that suggests it's body dysmorphia.
Because I don't like the body dysmorphia, like the torso and the legs. You strike me as like a pretty healthy guy. Like you look
I constantly want to go to the doctor to make sure I'm okay. I constantly feel like I'm on the verge of getting sick, or like I can't do that because it'll make me sick. Yeah. I'm like obsessing about getting sick.
Not only is that the Jewy thing, that's also coming from a medical family.
What I was about to ask is like having a doctor as a dad.
Maybe. That definitely happens in medical families.
Yeah, because I have a syndrome, but I'm the opposite. I go to the gym and like use like outdoor kettlebells and then like eat with my hands and not even think.
I'm a total germaphobe. Yeah. I'm like
I should be a germaphobe.
Only time I'm not germaphobic is when we're like filming on the streets and I'll eat M&Ms off the ground. But like
and vomit.
And vomit and stuff like that because I'm in like a heightened, I'm just like, oh God, I gotta be funny.
Yeah.
But normally it's like Purell, you know, I just bathe in Purell and
I mean,
constantly think I'm about to get sick or I have something or like.
All joking aside, though, you're clearly...
I'm going to be like the first person to bring Ebola to the, I feel like patient zero. I feel like I'm going to be patient zero. I watched that movie Contagion. It like ruined my life for like a few years.
But I think that's every... you watch those movies. I watched Outbreak when it came out on a plane. My parents and I were flying somewhere, and I'm like, oh, come on. But I think that you're like where you say you're really like a hypochondriac, but you'll eat an M&M off the ground. It's clear if you watch the Eric Andre Show, which everyone should do Thursday nights 12:15 on Adult Swim. You're really committed, like you're passionate about your work.
Yeah,
it means a lot.
I want to commit to the bit if that means eating M&Ms off the ground.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi. I have a question about.
Is it about polyamory? Because that's the new anal. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
I've been smoking since I was like 16. I'm 24 now. I recently stopped about 2 weeks ago, and I've been having, like, really, really bad, like, anger issues. Like, I get really mad really easily, and it's over, like, the littlest things. And I was wondering, like, different tactics that I could use to, like, get over that part.
Different patches?
Or tactics.
Tactics.
You know, or something that'll help me not get so mad or not get so frustrated.
How are you sleeping?
You know, today, like, I yelled at my sister because she scared me by kicking the chair, and I mean, like, I got really, really mad about it.
You know, that's withdrawal. That's drug withdrawal. How are you sleeping?
Oh, well, usually I'm asleep right now, but I'm awake, you know?
So you can't sleep.
Yeah, and then I have body aches and it's
right. That's the opioid type of withdrawal syndrome that some people get from heavy regular cannabis use. And it makes sense, right? It gives you euphoria, and so the euphoric system is being chronically saturated, so when you withdraw it, you get the withdrawal from the opioid system. And it's pretty miserable
How long does it last?
Well, two bad weeks. And the one weird characteristic that comes along with it is, and you're kind of describing it, it's kind of an irritability and paranoia. You always think you're kind of looking behind you all the time, and you're thinking people are talking about you a little bit, and you're very, very, very irritable. And there are medicines that help it, I mean, but you have to talk to a doctor that really has a lot of experience treating this thing.
Do you exercise, Ryan?
Yeah, I go to the gym every day.
You're still going?
Yeah.
Good. Keep going. Maybe get some, you know, Somnix or Benadryl or something for sleep. It's not going to help very much. And the sleep can stay messed up for 3 or 4 months, and it will get better.
But absolutely no, like...
nothing. No,
I was going to say
no alcohol.
No. What's the sleep stuff? Yeah. Ambien or anything?
No, don't take anything like that.
Because I would imagine someone, a physician,
if you go to a doctor
who doesn't understand...
Yeah. If you go to a doctor who doesn't understand this syndrome, they can perpetuate it easily.
So,
is NyQuil okay?
Yeah. Well, it's alcohol.
What about scissor?
What about scissor?
I tried to substitute it by buying like one of those vape pens with nicotine in it, and that really didn't, you know, that really didn't do anything for me.
No, stimulants aren't going to do much.
What about just boxing? Just punching the bag.
What about you punch your sister? Because when she does that, you just knock her out,
and then knock yourself out, and then take a huge bong load. Sorry, I'm terrible at giving advice.
Inappropriate boners are open forum with Eric Andre. Open forum in about 2 minutes. Have you ever had an inappropriate boner?
Oh, I was just talking about my inappropriate boner.
Were you?
Well,
outside.
Hold on. Let's lead off the open forum with it, but first we have to talk to Mike here. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Drew? What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, dog?
My boy with the chlamydia.
What's up? No, now it's body dysmorphia. Or maybe it's both. Who knows?
My boy with the chlamydia. I love
it. That's my rap name, actually. It's weird that you got that out. That's my Wu-Tang name.
What's going on?
All right, question for Drew.
Yeah.
I was talking to my boy today, and his uncle got cancer down his throat.
Mm-hmm. You might be the most Mexican guy we've talked to in a long time.
Is it esophagus or in his neck?
No. But he says it's from going down on a girl.
Yes, that's head and neck cancer, and I was just telling Eric about that. We're seeing a marked increase in HPV-related head and neck cancers in men from oral sex. That's right. That's absolutely just why you got to go get the vaccine,
Michael
everybody.
Douglas, right?
Michael Douglas had this.
Don't tell me
this. Okay.
Why didn't they give you the vaccine if you're seeing the doctors all the time? It's ridiculous.
That's another thing I guess.
I don't want to pull out a dental dam either because it's like
get
weird.
The vaccine. What the hell?
So reportedly, black men don't eat the vagina, but you'd like it? You're a big fan?
Yeah, I go downtown. Yeah, big time.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I like
yeah,
it as much as receiving pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm down there. I'll stick my tongue straight in the center of a girl's butthole.
Are you you eat the cake, as they call it in the African American
community? My friend calls it the devil's calamari. Isn't that great?
I call it the German onion ring sometimes. Devil's calamari. That's my album.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you want to be
in
a rap
group? That is not my joke. That is my friend. Sure, I'll start.
Can we be the devil's calamari?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. What up? Devil's Calamari.
Devil's MC Devil's Calamari, y'all.
1-800-LOVE-191's the number. Eric Andre has been nice enough to join us.
I have so many questions now with each segment. Like,
listen, we got two segments we're going to talk about inappropriate boners, but after that, polyamory, bonobo
now
monkeys.
Now more are coming out. I want to know like how high at risk is getting a beach. Like, am I going to die next time?
Get the vaccine.
AdultSwim.com, EricAndre.com. He is at EricAndre on Twitter, and he's Eric Effing Andre on their Instagram. The Eric Andre Show, Friday mornings at 12:15 a.m. Pretty much Thursday night, same thing. Give us a call if you've ever had an inappropriate boner, or if you're a lady and you've, like, been a part of an inappropriate boner. Give us a ring. It's Loveline.
Insight.
Mother has old-fashioned ideas.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Here's tonight's open forum.
All right, it's time for the open forum with Eric Andre. 12:15 a.m. Friday mornings, Thursday nights, Adult Swim.
I want to talk about Kinsey. I want to talk about John Calvin.
I'm
going to get into it. Let's talk about the whole history.
I'm barely
of sex
straight
education.
On the Kinsey scale. Like, I'm barely. Like, I'm. If, like, six is a straight.
Except because your males have sort of a cutoff. Women, it's just very fluid.
Yeah.
Interesting. But he's right on the edge.
Yeah.
He'd have to cross over.
You get to jail.
I'm gay, except I like vagina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Other. Like, I just.
A hole is a hole, as they say.
Yeah. And I definitely, if I would have continued partying, would have been. Just, I've given up, and I'd be in butthole. Only male butthole.
Only male calamari.
Yeah, devil's calamari. Who is my friend that made up that joke? I got to give him credit before the show's over. Don't forget.
Gallagher.
It's Gallagher. That's what it is. Can't remember what comic said that. Sorry if you're out there. I'm not saying that.
Margaret Cho.
Margaret Cho.
Lewis Black.
It was
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Shecky Green, actually, from the Borscht Belt.
1-800-LOVE-191. Inappropriate boners is our open forum topic. Hello, Jim. Start us off.
How you guys doing?
Hey, what Jim.
Up? Yeah, I was. I went to a local Walmart, and I was in line. I had basketball shorts on, and it was clearly visible. As it started to happen, I didn't know how to get rid of it. I tried to do everything I could do with Tuck, and it just wouldn't happen. It slipped out. And basically a cashier saw that I had, you know, some boner going on and thought that I was being sexually, you know, trying to, you know, just be a pervert.
Oh,
and,
no.
Ended up getting escorted out of Walmart.
Oh.
Luckily they didn't call the police. But
2 days later, they hired you to work as a greeter.
As a box boy. Get what I'm saying?
Hey, you know? Boom.
Ew, talking about box. Eric Andre,
you mean like vagina?
Yeah, I was referring to female lady parts.
What did you say before? Munch labes?
Munch
labes.
I
love that. That's my devil's calamari.
You can take. You can.
Munch, I'm taking.
I would be. Listen, right. I would be over the moon if I tuned in Eric Andre one day. I heard munch labes.
You munch labes, bro. That's so heinous.
It's just horrible. It's vulgar.
Hey, bro, you munch labes, bro. Boy.
You have an inappropriate boner story. You were just talking about inappropriate.
Yeah, the first boner I ever got was to Paula Abdul's Straight Up Now Tell Me video. I was 5 years old. It was 1988. And my, I remember being like, whoa, what's going on with my penis? And I turned around. I showed my mom. I was like, Mom, why is my penis way bigger? She's like, it means you're tired. Go to bed. So that was my intro to. That was the first boner that I can remember because I was like, damn, I don't know what I love watching this Paula Abdul video. I don't know what she's doing to me, but
she, I mean, she
I was
like,
straight up not Tim.
There was a time and a place where she was pretty hot.
Oh,
you know, always terrible musician.
I loved her.
The worst music.
I was so.
If
I played, I played Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and I would watch Straight Up Now Tell Me.
I could rule Mike Tyson's Punch Out in once I got past Bald Bull. Like, like it was like
I was bad at all.
3 years to get past Bald Bull, and then once I did, I could beat the whole
then
game.
You
every
were
time.
Like,
yeah.
No looking back.
I had an inappropriate boner, Drew. My clinical boner.
Oh,
yeah,
it's a good
this.
One.
This is
it's a good
this
story.
Was nuts.
Ooh, I have another story. Okay, yeah.
So remember earlier when we talked about smoking heroin?
Yes.
This was in my. I'm going to sprinkle heroin into my cocaine into my rock, and I'm going to start doing that. And I would go to the – I would over OD
God, that
all
sounds
the time.
Like so much fun.
It was great. My life
Except,
was terrible.
Yeah.
My life was horrible.
You're ruining your life.
Yeah, I had nothing going good. So I would go to the hospital a lot. And I – one of these times I OD'd. I woke up in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. And one of the drugs they gave me was like a benzo to kind of calm me down because, like, physically I was – they were keeping me under wraps, but I was still, like, panicky. So they give me something to calm me down. And one of the, like, really rare side effects of this drug, I forgot what it was, but it was, like, erection, like, painful erections. And
priapism.
And that's what I got. And
priapism is painful erections?
Painful sustained erections.
Yeah.
Painful
so,
sustained erections.
So, like, after, like, for, like, a half hour, you're like, oh, it just kind of feels like I have morning wood. 45 minutes, I'm like, this is uncomfortable. After an hour, I ask the nurse to
that
come in.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And
so she comes in.
The sex of your life with that nurse.
I wish. It was like...
Was
like
that butt ugly nurse.
Yeah,
just
it was like, just like this husky Italian Jersey woman. And so the doctor is called. He is told. He escorts me to another side, like another wing in the hospital. But I have a gown on.
Oh,
and
so
I have clinical bones. So I have to like go through the hospital.
And, like,
a
tent.
That's
yeah.
pitching a tent syndrome. That's
two in the afternoon with a boner. and if I rolled to my side to hide the boner, then my ass is showing. Like they couldn't put a like they didn't put any bedding on me. You know? They wheeled me out there.
Did you rub one out?
No. Not later. I did.
Sweet.
Later, I tried to convince my
it's a silver lining.
Later, I tried to convince my horrible girlfriend at the time to blow me in the.
It's worth that heroin overdose.
Yeah.
Are you sober? You're sober now. Are you sober?
12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it hard?
Yeah. But it's way better.
Yeah.
My life's way better.
What was the last moment of non-sobriety?
It wasn't even that interesting. Like, I'd been to jail a lot, and I'd, like, lost my right to drive in, like, six states.
Multiple Whoa. Deaths.
Yeah.
Multiple resuscitations.
Wow, and
you were really
yeah, I was,
having fun.
I was a bad dude. I was a really bad drug addict, alcoholic. And I got clean for the final time because I'd made other attempts, and it didn't stick. But the final time, I was in an apartment.
Why were you addicted to drugs? Were you depressed? Depression?
Yeah. But I also, it's in my family. I think I have definite,
he's got
definite
the gene.
Genetic predisposition. But I also, yeah, I mean, it was a perfect storm. I'm a pretty clinically depressed dude, and I'm also like pretty high strung, and also really insecure. Like I don't hold myself in high regard, and I have a lot of kind of pent up energy, and it just made for a perfect storm.
Perfect
like,
storm.
Yeah, I felt really confident and cool when I do blow and get drunk. You know? So anyway, my final time, I was in a hotel room in Inglewood, just got some rock. I'd smoked it all. I was going to call some people. And instead of calling more, like, to hook up, I just called the rehabilitation center and, like,
I'm
you
done.
Got any beds?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, come on.
Wow.
That was it.
But you can be a drug user without being a drug abuser.
Sure.
It's sure.
Drug
oh,
addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, drug addict's a specific thing.
I would think there's probably a
dabbling
lot.
Dabbling is way more.
Way more.
I read a statistic that the war on drugs had no effect whatsoever, that a percentage of the population that was addicted to drugs from 1914 when they made all drugs illegal to now is exactly the same. Is that true?
It's very similar.
Is that true?
Yeah. If heroin, we bet the same.
I think, honestly, I...
So the war on drugs just did
well,
zero,
I would argue,
except
I would argue,
make drug cartels and...
I would argue
powerful. Yeah.
I would argue things are a lot worse now because of pills. a lot worse. That's the thing that has significantly put things up.
He's
and drug cartels.
He's the man.
And the DEA.
He's the man as far as like understanding, you know, the addict from a clinical standpoint. But I see it go down, and he sees so many more patients who are pill addicts. I used in when I first got clean, 2002, I'd go to a meeting, and there'd be 25 alcoholics, 15 cokeheads,
and two
pill users.
Yeah.
Oh, and, no, this is 15 years ago.
Yeah. And now I go and it's
all pill.
It's 25 pill users and like a couple drinkers.
Wow. Yeah. Why the change? Immoral doctors or what?
Not immoral, just people.
Naive.
Naive, yeah.
They think
naive like you can't believe. And then some really.
Eight years of medical school really, and you're naive?
I still can't get them to understand what addiction is. They don't understand it. And
what, doctors that you're teaching?
They don't get it. And they believe that we went through a huge epidemic, not epidemic, a period of history where doctors were put in jail if they didn't treat pain adequately. You were literally put in jail. So with the painkillers, right, with the opiates. And so the aphorism became pain is whatever the patient says it is. Well, my patients went nuts with that.
Whoa.
Nuts.
Whoa.
So there you go.
What doctor would be put in jail? Who's arresting the doctor for that?
Happened all the time in Florida, California.
Dr. Dre.
Patient gets pissed off. You didn't pay attention
and
to their pain.
And sue them for malpractice?
No. Criminal. It's a criminal. You go to jail.
To not adequately
putting
doctors in jail for not giving them OxyContin?
Yes.
That's where things
went off.
My friends.
When was that? In the 90s?
Early
90s. Really? That's insane.
And then hospitals were required. My unit, it's a long story. It's boring for people. But my unit was required. My patients were in horrible pain for a few days. And I was getting S from the administration every day. Like, why aren't you treating their pain? It's like they're in withdrawal.
The pain's going to go away in three days.
Yeah. Don't listen to them. They won't remember it. Losers. We'll treat the withdrawal. They'll be fine. Oh my God. The public health department's going to come here. They're going to shut us down. Yeah.
That's insane.
That's the stuff we were dealing
with. That's crazy.
Yeah. Why aren't you treating these heroin addicts with some painkillers? Why aren't you doing that?
The administration and then the Department
of Mental Health.
Was pushing for...
Oh, pushing, demanding.
Why, because they were corrupted by Pfizer?
No, because that's the perception.
Naive.
Naive.
They were just purely naive.
And then a legal system that required it. A legal system that said, who are you to make people suffer like that? How dare you? And patients said they're miserable.
There was no cahoots with people profiting from OxyContin sales?
Absolutely not. Of course, they did, and they loved that, and they certainly colluded in the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was not started from there at all.
Wow, that's
insane. I lived through that. It was, and I'm still living through it. My patients die of pills today.
And getting back to your original,
and
point
it's pills. My peers give them because they go in and say they have pain. You're an addict. Oh, thank you. Well, here's just a few Vicodin, just a few.
I don't know what Drew's restrictions are as a doctor instead, but I'll say it right now. That you are hitting on exactly why Heath Ledger's dead, why DJ AM's dead, why they're dead.
All opiates, right? Weren't they mixing pills though? Benzo opiates,
and they're given that combination. Yeah. Well, you can't sleep. Well, here's some clones.
Benzos and opiates.
Yeah.
That's a real I was talking about when I would mix heroin and coke. You mix benzos and an opiate painkiller.
You don't wake up.
That's a crapshoot. You're like, I'm gonna die maybe this
wow.
tonight. You know? And a lot of people don't even know that. But getting back to your original point about the war on drugs, from the standpoint of someone who I don't feel like I am representative of the average dude.
Yeah.
You know, I have a serious problem and a sickness, whereas most people, it's like you want to go, you do a bump on Saturday night. That's your business.
Right.
But the way that Drew is talking about how physicians have mishandled this, the way that law enforcement in this country traditionally has handled the war on drugs is why things are way worse today.
Treatment
of people who use drugs as criminals is patently wrong.
It's like, you know that Bill Hicks? Yeah, have you heard that Bill Hicks joke? Sick people don't get healed in jail. They're sick. They're not criminals.
Right.
Yeah. 1-800-LOVE-191
is the number. Eric Andre is here. Getting to some interesting conversation here with Mr. Andre.
Excellent show.
The Eric Andre Show. Everybody, I encourage you, if you're not already watching it, you should be. Adult Swim, 12:15 a.m. Friday mornings / Thursday nights. At Eric Andre on Twitter. Eric effing Andre on their Instagram. In the middle of the third season, and it just keeps getting better. But we're also in the middle of the open forum. Inappropriate boners, call us up with your stories. It's Loveline.
One call. is all it takes. 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Start punching in the numbers now so you're ready when Loveline returns.
Tune in on Real Self-Knowledge.
Casper mattresses, everybody. Online premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but the Casper mattresses cost between $500 for a twin-size mattress, $600 for a twin XL, $750 for full-size, $850 for queen, $950 for king. They come in a box. They are they're sort of a special premium latex foam with memory foam that makes it the perfect hybrid, and buying a Casper mattress is risk-free. Offers free delivery, as I said, just shows up in a box, you lay it down, and you go to sleep. And returns within a 100-day period. It is that simple. If you're not happy, you have 100 days to decide you're not and send it on back in the same box. Statistically, lying out of bed for 4 minutes in a showroom does not correlate with whether it's the right bed for you. That's why Casper has turned the buying process into a risk-free experience. Casper understands the importance of trying out the mattress. And after all, this is something you spend a third of your life on. And, of course, we have our special offer. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/loveline. That is www.casper.com/loveline. And, again, using that code loveline, casper.com/loveline with loveline as that promo code to get that $50 towards any mattress.
Yeah, man. Eric Andre joins us this evening from the Eric Andre Show. We are in the middle of we're in the middle of the open forum about inappropriate boners. Also, our reggae band. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Rakatai, Steven Seagal through the window.
I know. How was your Stern interview?
Me and my best friend Casper, you love your show. Bird up, man. You were so ready.
Thanks, man. Bird up.
My piece, okay, when I was 17, it was like July, hot summer day. I'm asleep. It has to be like 10 in the morning. My doorbell rings. I get out of bed, just kind of groggy, not really like even awake yet. I go and open the door. It's the UPS lady. She gives me this like really weird look. Like she kind of like sizes me up even. Like it's really awkward moment. I sign for the package. She's not really saying, but she walks away and I look down and I have a full blow direction just hanging out. Right there.
Wow. And then she gave you the blowjob of a lifetime. She's like, I quit today, and just gave you the blowjob of a lifetime. And then blew her brains out in front of you, like the R. Bud Dwyer suicide footage, and it affected you ever since.
Can I hear her impersonation again?
She's like, I quit today. I quit today. Like give me that boner.
She's in like an Uncle Remus cartoon. Like, look at here. I quit today. Hello,
give me
Mike.
That awkward boner.
Hello, Mike.
What's up, dude? How you doing, Big Mike?
Doing good, man. Tell us about your inappropriate boner.
So I went for an interview at Wells Fargo as a teller.
Yes.
And we're sitting across like in line, and the lady who's giving the interview, she has a skirt on, and she didn't cross her legs, so you could see everything.
She had no underwear? She had no underwear?
What was that?
No underwear? She had no underwear on?
She had, like, underwears, but they were, like, very see-through. You could still see, like, the lips, everything, dude.
Wow. Dude, this is another. We're getting, like, such
Labes.
Super Mexican callers tonight. He did the underwears, and Labes. Then he said, I went to for an interview as a taller.
And what happened player? Was.
Hello, Mike.
What has happened was player.
Hello.
Yes. So you got a boner at a job interview.
Correct.
And you were wearing, like, what? Let me guess, like, khakis or something loose-fitting that
I was wearing slacks, bro, even the thinnest thing ever. and so I have she's like, okay, it's your turn. You know, call my name. I have my resume literally covering my freaking boner, dude. And I'm walking towards her.
You had sex with your resume.
Huh?
You had sex with your resume.
Essentially.
Essentially. So anyway, continue.
She looks at me. Obviously, she looks down. She sees I have an erection. She goes, sir, you know you have an erection.
No, she did not.
No way. No way.
No.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm like, she goes, why do you have an erection?
Oh, my God.
You're like, so I'm getting the job.
So I go, I can't really say right now. I'm not going to tell her I saw your panties and your lips. You know what I mean?
should have. You'd be like, why do you got those lips?
Lunch labes, bro?
Where are those labes at? I saw that labes and that devil calamari, and I said, ooh, ooh.
But she was still cool, gave me the interview. Unfortunately, didn't get the job, though. But she gave me the interview. She was cool, and I told her I apologize. And, you know, and I said, hey, it's a man thing, you know. Cool with it.
I had a buddy when he was 14 years old. He went to get his physical, and like it was like a few minutes before the doctor came in. And he's 14. He just started playing with his penis. Oh, he didn't think the doctor came in. She came in like right when he was like rock hard, made him drop chow, and his boner went like boing, right in her face.
Oh, no. And Eric, dude,
with the language, sir.
Sorry.
I love you too, man.
Goodbye.
Oh, you're bad. You're on. Bye. Love you.
You've been murdered. Let's see here.
My virgin ears.
I know, seriously.
It is really hard not to curse. I'm like, my tough penis and vagina. I mean,
you have a little more freedom than, like, say, like Kevin and Bean or something, like, you know, where you that you did.
It was hard this morning, yeah, too. I was like, yeah.
Hello, Alyssa.
Hey, guys. I've called a couple times before. I love the show.
Thank you. We love you.
So, actually, this happened today. So fairly recently, I was at my great aunt Alice's funeral, my grandpa's brother's wife.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
My cousin was sitting next to me because we were way, way in the back, and we were at her wake. And we were sitting there, and my mom and my aunt and everything were sitting in front of us, and everyone's kind of quiet, you know, the preacher's kind of going on speaking. And I kind of look down, you know, just to, like, pull down my skirt or whatever. And I look, and my cousin has a raging boner in the middle of the wake. I didn't know if it was maybe just his pants. And I just kind of kept looking, and I'm like, dude, are you okay? Like, whispering. And he said, shut up, don't look at me, shut up.
Oh, man.
And the thing
he's a necrophiliac.
People were getting up to say things, you know, and he was like, no, he was pretending to be emotional and crying because if he got up, it would look like he put, like, a traffic cone in his...
But listen, this is proof positive of how different males are than females, right? I mean, men are at a funeral, and this overcomes them. They can't help themselves.
Wait, what did he get turned on by?
I don't know.
Who knows?
He thought of something at the funeral.
He's trying to get his mind off the funeral.
Did he get turned on by your great aunt's dead labes and calamari?
How old is the kid again? He's like 17?
He's 19.
19. A 19-year-old, think about it. 19-year-old can doesn't have to think about anything.
I told you about the time I beat off at my great-grandma's
old folks home.
So I'm visiting my great grandma at this old, like, this complex.
You're with your dog.
I'm with my dog that loves jizz, and I'm visiting. She, you know, she was in her late 90s at the time, so she was unfortunately at what do they call it, hospice room?
Where they probably a nursing home anyway.
Where they send you when they know it's, you know, not really conscious, and I'm just sitting there. I was in like seventh grade, and this nurse comes in, and she was reasonably attractive. It's not like
not
Kate
even
Upton
super hot.
But she reached down to change something on my great grandma's bed, and she, like, the side of her sleeve just poked forward, and I saw her bra.
Yeah.
I walked in the bathroom of her room, and I beat off.
Oh, you don't even have to be in seventh grade. That could happen to me now, and I would go to the bathroom.
And the most embarrassing part was for me is that I beat off, and then I was like, because, like, when you're 12 beating off, you think, like, I got to make sure no one knows I'm beating off.
Yeah.
I was the opposite. That's how I am now. When I was 12, I was just like, nobody knows. And I'm like, just
really,
painting the walls.
By the time I was like 17, when my mom would walk in on me, I'd yell at her.
Like, I'd be like, wow, you're cocky. Yeah.
Well, because pardon the pun. Because I got to the point where I was like, Mom, if the doors are closed and I'm in the bathroom, and I'm in there for more than 30 seconds, I'm doing one of two things. Yeah. I'm pooping or I'm shooting loads.
Yeah.
Either way, don't come in. There's, it's not for you. And she'd walk in with, like, towels and be like, God damn it!
Yeah.
I'm just standing there with my...
Not for you.
Yeah. Not for you, Mom. So at the hospice, you just beat off.
I beat off. And then I went to go, like, wash down my baby batter down the toilet. And it was hospital toilet. So it's a...
Blew your cover.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, jeez Louise.
Hello, you were doing some tomfoolery, it sounds like, to me.
Eric Andre, would you like to invest in my product that I've thought of that I think is really important, especially for the young man?
Devil's calamari.
You go into the bathroom to beat off. but you don't want people to know you're beating off. Like you have a wife that's like a bitch and she doesn't want you to like watch porn and beat off, or mm-hmm. you don't want your mom, you're a young man, you don't want your mom to know. So it's spray that smells like poop.
Yeah.
So you go into the bathroom to beat off and you spray this around and everybody's spray. Convinced that you took a crap.
I'm on board.
Thank you. Hello, Ground Chris. Floor. Chris.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
No effing way with your story.
Yeah. No. I'm dead serious.
Please tell your story.
Okay. I take care of developmentally disabled adults.
Okay.
And every Sunday I take them to church, and on Saturday nights I work kind of late.
That's really nice of you, man. Seriously.
So and of course, you know, I wear scrubs to work. So we're about to get up for communion at church, and I was kind of dozing off, and I stand up and kind of I'm leaning against the pew, and I realize, holy moly, there's something going on.
Holy moly, there's some tomfoolery. I love all these 50s terms coming up.
Holy mackerel.
Hey, Daddy-O Eisenhower's a drag, fuzzy duck.
Exactly.
I need some bread for some jazz. I'm on the road with Dean Moriarty. Cool. So what'd you do with your boner?
Dean Moriarty.
Dude, this is the worst part. I had to actually get up and take the individuals through the line to get communion at church. So here I am standing between, you know, a bunch of churchgoers and my individuals, and the only thing I can think in my head is what Adam Carolla once said is tuck it in your waistband.
Yeah. Yes, so great advice.
So here I am trying to discreetly do that with pockets and scrubs, which aren't like
Well, you got to think. You got to go mental. You got to think of grandma naked. Think of playing baseball.
Yeah,
think of cutting your own penis off.
I think
of Lorena Bobbitt when I try to get rid of
it. It was bad, dude. It was bad.
Watch the Pain Olympics. You'll never get an erection again.
BME Pain Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's tough.
Or just let me send you a couple texts.
Oh, you want to be on this thread? This chain?
If it's like snuff, like BME Pain Olympics.
No,
all
your preoccupations will melt away.
I can't take it.
Either I get a lot worse.
It's not violence. It's more just like... Like the depravity of sexual behavior in the world, I find.
Is it people cutting their penis off?
No,
it's
violence.
more like poo to the face, or like gaping butthole. Like gapes is my big thing.
Gapes and prolapses and stool.
I call the prolapse anus a pink sock.
Yeah,
that's what it is,
Mike's
brother.
Perfected it.
That's what they call it in jail, dog.
Rudy. Okay,
hey,
you haven't seen
dog?
A couple of days, dude.
Oh, no, I've been like in the cut, dog. Cause like.
Where you been?
The cut.
Oh, you were at the show the other night.
I was at
Acoustic
Christmas,
yeah,
dog. You know what I say? I go see my Gwen Stefani. You know.
Yeah,
what
I give that
güera like some serious chorizo.
Did you meet her backstage or something?
I did. I was like, "What's up, Gwen?" And she's like, "Hey there." And I'm like, "Hey, what's up, Aina?" So like, I know like Gavin don't hold it down, you know, especially he doesn't go, you know, back door.
Right.
And I'm like, I've been in Chino for like 15 years.
Did
I know how to blast.
She called security.
Yeah. See, and you know what I did?
What?
I broke them all off. You know what I'm saying?
All security?
So
is that why you haven't been here the last couple of days?
Yeah, but no,
because
I had a crazy like holiday hours at Jamba Juice.
Oh, yeah.
So like I've been like...
You've been working hard.
Hard, dog.
Yeah.
Eric Andre,
what's up, player?
My parole officer, he got me a job, like work release at Jamba Juice, you know, so I've been like trying to hold it down.
Oh, good. He's bringing some wheatgrass on me. It's been great.
Yeah.
Clean, dog. You know, like, I've been like, for real, though, like, I'm a crazy big fan of Eric Andre's show, you know, like I go home at night.
Thanks, homie.
Blast the Yeska, dog. Might get my head right, you know, like me and my grandma.
Los Dodgers.
Your grandma watched with you?
Oh, she loves Eric Andre,
you
dog.
Take out Eric to a Dodger game.
Yeah,
Dodger
I
want
to go
too,
to
like.
Dodgers.
Oh, dog, like, I'm not allowed back at Dodger Stadium. Like, I just hang out in the parking lot now. You know, if I see Giant fans, I break them off real pop. My birthday gets blasted, dog. You know, like, I'm thinking about renewing my vows, fool. You
with
Sad Girl.
With Sad Girl?
And, you know, because it's got a 20-year anniversary, you know.
Oh, he's been married 20 years. Got, like, 12 kids, 14 kids?
Let me see, like, carry the one. It's a 15. Yeah,
15 kids.
Yes, homie.
You and
right,
Sad Girl.
I think I can name them all too. There's Creeper, there's Little Maniac, uh-huh. there's Ceiling Fan,
uh-huh.
there's Thousand Island,
uh-huh.
there's Joker, Casper.
I think those are all the guys from Suicidal Tendencies.
Rudy One.
There's Rudy One,
Rudy two. Yeah.
There's Smiley.
Yeah.
There's
the girls. What are the girls?
There's Barracuda.
Uh-huh.
There's
the girls.
There's Madras Shorts. There's there's
Madre. That's the Indian one.
Did you get Curandero? Did you do Curandero for your? Oh crap!
Quinceañero.
Quinceañero for your daughters.
What did you call it? Curandero?
Curandero is the witch. Witch.
No, he said Wiccan. He said
Curandero is the
culoberry.
No,
culoberry.
Yeah, because they do the cupping and stuff. The witches.
Oh damn! No, I did cupping once. Yeah. You know, that was to get the pink sock to pull it out.
I gotta get on that prolapsed anus chain.
He had one.
I did like because my cellmate Trucha. Oh. He blasted my culo and it made it look like a prawn.
Yeah, that's the real devil's combo. Right.
Later, Rudy. Damn, Rudy, I wasn't expecting that.
Look like a prawn. Rudy's in good spirits, man.
Hey, Mike, did you ever go to like Red Lobster?
You ever go to Jeet Lada, that Thai restaurant in Hollywood in Thai Town?
You ever go to Lobster Roja? Some prawns? You know, like
Red Lobster. Yeah.
You ever get the Clams Casino? That was like my butthole.
Oh, stop! And now you're getting funny. Come on.
Now I'm getting funny.
Get out of here, Rudy.
1-800-LOVE-191. More with Eric Andre.
Deli meats down there.
One call is all it takes.
Exactly.
1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
Yeah, I buy pretty much everything Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. It makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
Andre to talk about polyamory
and bonobos.
Yeah. Bonobos, polyamory. I just read Sex at Dawn. Let's do it.
Yeah, but the reason I'm more than happy to indulge you is because Drew and I take a lot of calls about polyamory. I mean, it's definitely a popular topic with
yes.
A lot of people.
Just not polyamory, the biological significance of sexual exclusivity. That's what I want to talk about.
There is.
And are we designed as human beings to be sexually exclusive?
We are not designed to live past 30. So we're already way outside.
I heard that's not true.
That's true.
I heard that even in caveman days, as we were evolving, we were living until 80. Just a lot of people were dying. So the average is 30. But
almost nobody made it out of childhood. Almost always. It's so rare to make it out of childhood.
That's why the average is 30. But once you made it out of childhood, you could live to 60 or 70,
but not many did. Mm. Not many. There were too many illnesses. I mean, you die of infections. If you got a scrape, you would die of a staph infection. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost impossible to live to 80. You could. I mean, we weren't designed to live to 80. We were designed to die in our 30s and 40s.
So is sexual exclusivity.
Most women died in childbirth. Most women. Mm. Most
is sexual exclusivity unrealistic.
I mean, just think about that. You don't have to worry about it. Your wife would die in childbirth.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But Drew.
But now in current 2014, do we have unrealistic expectations about sexual exclusivity and monogamy? Do we put too much pressure on our relationships.
Well, we definitely do if we start at 22 and expect it to go to 80.
It's going to be effortlessly monogamous from when you're 22 to when you're 80.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane.
But
should we ease the gasket? Should we? allow dabbling a little more often than we do. Because the mode now is you get married after college, and then that's it. You're only allowed to see one person naked for the rest of your life.
You got to get that out of your system before you get married.
And that's what I was going to say.
But even when you're married, what is the backlash of just a little dabbling for both parties? I'm not saying in a sexist way.
It markedly diminishes intimacy. And at a time when intimacy is already at a premium,
wouldn't sexual exclusivity diminish intimacy? No. After seeing the same person naked over and over and over again, wouldn't that
get old? Not if you make a good choice. Not if you make a good choice. And it's not been my experience at all. Mm-hmm.
And also,
I have no patience with guys that at 45 go, well, man, now I got to sew my. Like, that's I have no patience for that. You should have done that at 30 or 28. That's the time to do that.
Yeah.
I feel like. You know, and there's a lot of factors into why my second marriage, my current marriage, is so much healthier. But, you know, when I got married when I was young, 24, I was, and I had already been in the relationship for a couple of years. I just flat out didn't get enough effing out of my system.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and then once I banged all of California.
But you're always going to be attracted to hot.
Women. Without question. Without question.
But you may not want to disrupt what you have.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
But why is it disrupting what you have?
It's the nature
of... Is it just based on jealousy?
No, it's the nature of intimacy. When you diminish the primary intimacy, when you spread intimacy around, it makes it very hard to enrich the primary intimacy. Intimacy is difficult enough. And by the way, when you look at all health parameters,
Because you're worried that the other person is going to be jealous. Right,
it's not jealousy. It's a diminishment. It diminishes the closeness.
And why does it?
It's how we're wired. I mean, it's just it's the way people are.
If you're with the same woman for 30 years, you guys are madly in love. She has sex a couple times with some other guy. Your wife goes backpacking through Europe with her gal friend. She hits it off with this Javier Bardem hunk-a-bunk dude at the bar. They have a connection. They share a night together. Why is that such a catastrophic? Why is that such catastrophic damage to your marriage? Why couldn't you just let that go?
Perhaps there's a way we could evolve to do that. We're wired up as males to be extremely affected by exclusivity, because it was the only way historically in evolution that we could determine paternity. There was no other way to determine it.
But before that, there's that whole Dan Savage speech about. Men have never been monogamous for all of recorded human history. Men had whores and concubines, and 60 years ago when marriages became egalitarian relationships, instead of giving women the same freedom that men had for thousands and thousands of years, we gave men the same restrictions and limitations that women had, and then what we've seen is, more than half of all marriages end in divorce. The average marriage lasts 2 to 3 years. 80% of men admit to cheating once in their life. 60% of women admit to cheating once in their life. So shouldn't we just have like a higher shouldn't we just change our attitudes about what sexual exclusivity if you dabble once in a while, why is it such a can never do that?
You can do whatever you want.
Isn't there like a
you can do whatever you want, but let's put
isn't
it
there
way.
No absolutes
in, let's put it this way. When we are working with couples and they're having trouble, the worst thing you can do for a relationship, the worst, is to bring other people into it.
Yeah.
The worst.
If they're having trouble.
If they're not having trouble, they tend not to want to do that.
Yeah.
And if so, in terms of relationship health, if it were healthy and good and helped the relationship to do that, we'd recommend it. Mm. We'd have people do that. Mm. But it goes the other way. It just unravels everything. And that's the nature of feeling safe in relationships, developing closeness and intimacy. Mm. In medieval times or in, Tudor England, relationships blew. They were terrible. Mm. And people were chopping off heads
but
and
so
extremely
life.
Violent. Life sucked.
Yeah.
There was violence.
Yeah.
And having any kind of relationship was extremely difficult. We've evolved further and we're able to have these stable relationships and raise families. Ultimately, it's for kids. And let's face it, that's the reason we have these stable reunions.
Yeah.
You can just not get married, not do it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But every health parameter you can measure goes down, for men particularly, outside of a sustained monogamous relationship.
Yeah, but what about if men are more sexual? What am I trying to say? what if one person is more sexual than the other? The relationship has gone on for like 20, 25 years. The man is more libidinous than the woman, and he's not getting a need met.
We can fix that. All kinds of things we can do.
By stepping out and having sex with somebody else?
No, usually it's by adjusting everyone's hormones properly. And
yeah,
getting...
but doesn't her... Maybe her hormones naturally diminished.
We can fix that.
Yeah, but that's
no
going against nature, isn't it?
No. It's just helping nature out a little bit. We do stuff like that all the time. What if your thyroid burns out? You'll die if we don't replace your thyroid.
But that's like an unhealthy thing. But her hormones drying up isn't necessarily
unhealthy.
No,
she's living longer than she was supposed to, and we're just replacing with the body no longer. Same thing with thyroid. Mm-hmm. Same thing, whatever it is. Things shut down, we replace it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving her more than she needs. We're giving her just what she used to make. We're just giving it now exogenously.
I'm with Eric.
Eric, you can do whatever you want. That's the great thing
It's not even like, I'm not even... I guess I'm monogamy agnostic. I don't even think there is. This is the right answer, and I think everybody
you're very
is
very young. Things change as you get older.
Well, no, that's what I'll say is from personal experience is that I am not a guy who certainly by my history would say is a big believer in monogamy, but something happens when you meet the right lady that at the right time, it just rearranges.
So you believe in the one. You believe that there's...
No,
I don't,
A1.
Hold on.
It's not the one.
Terrestrial's never been more on fire.
Yeah.
What I do believe in is that when you meet certain people and you engage in relationships with them, it rearranges the way you look at all things, including your sexual practice. Mm-hmm. That's all. And I'm still tempted daily. I still see people on TV or in my real life where I'm like, I would knock your boots...
Why not once in a while act on that temptation?
Because I actually, I mean this with all my heart.
As a human being.
It's only a temptation. It doesn't, I don't have any real deep-seated desire to do it. Whereas in my first marriage, I definitely did. Whereas like, it was temptation. And I had to actually suppress my instinctive desires to do it. Now with my current wife, I just look at pretty girls like I look at nice cars. And it's like, I appreciate you. I would like to have sex with you, but I wouldn't at all want to follow through with it because I don't have any actual desire to do it. Like, I actually would not.
You really don't? That's not a societal condition?
No,
absolutely not.
That's deep down biologically that's
not about biologically.
And I wouldn't have even said this
like
a year ago.
What we're,
I wouldn't have even
we're
said this a year ago.
Think, but
no.
I think we're
when I have my
suppressing
wife kid,
what we
no.
actually should
you
be
might
doing.
Be right. You might be
no,
right completely.
No.
I'm not here to argue with you about that because I don't know the right answer.
I don't
but
know the right answer
say,
either. I'm just kind of sometimes I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm agnostic when it comes to
from my own personal experience, like having my wife and child at home, like I have zero desire to go, like, have sex with other girls. Like, it doesn't even cross
even,
my mind.
Even if he knew it would hurt his wife and that would damage his daughter, it's not even on the docket. Mm. You value it too much. It's an attack on that unit that you're
is
protecting.
Is it an attack? That's what I don't understand.
It would hurt her
why
feelings.
Hold on.
We'll keep it going.
Well, yes, we'll definitely continue this. Eric Andre is here from the Eric Andre Show. It's Love Line.
What if it's...
This is Loveline.
It's a groovy way of relaxing.
Sit tight. Loveline's coming back.
When you're ready to buy a car, you got to go True Car because True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. Dr. Drew?
First, download the True Car mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, second, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings.
Yes. And third,
it's simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience.
Some features not available in all states. With True Car, you can save time, save money, and never, ever overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
That's TrueCar.com.
We'll be right back. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Eric Andre is here.
Big ups yourself.
He's a great man. Great American. And he is a fantastically entertaining young man on the Eric Andre show.
Did I mess up? Hey, I'm getting married tonight.
Take my wife, please. In the middle of the third season of the Eric Andre show.
Lots of Eric questions there.
Yeah. And I'm not going to any of them. Oh. Hello, Sandro. Sandro.
Sandro.
Sandro. Oh, God.
Sandro. Oh, he didn't like you mispronounce his name.
Yeah. Hello, Joseph.
Hello.
What's up?
How's the Technicolor dream?
Hey, Eric, I love your show.
Thanks, baby.
My question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I masturbate and like...
Oh, that's disgusting.
Everybody does, but fuck. It hurts when I do.
What hurts?
When I masturbate.
What hurts?
Oh, my... It's like my ball, it goes up inside my...
That's a normal thing when it goes up in the inguinal canal. That doesn't cause pain. What causes the pain?
I feel like it just starts hurting.
What starts hurting?
Your balls, your penis? What's hurting?
The taint?
Oh, yeah, my ball.
The ball that goes up in?
Yeah, I think it's... What is the cord that's, wrapped... Not the cord that's connected to your ball. I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
It's called the spermatic cord. But that... No, that's not going up. That goes up with it. So you just push it back down. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, but what is the cord? What is the? Oh.
What's hurting? Do you have hurt between your, behind your balls? That area hurts.
Yeah, it hurts really bad. I can't explain the hurting. It's
Joseph.
Joseph.
your nose could be hurting for all I know. Get a little more specific. What hurts?
Yeah.
It's not your ball that goes inside. That doesn't hurt. That's really not a painful thing. It freaks people out, but it's not a painful thing.
I guess it's my... I'm trying to... I know the name of it, but I'm just trying to...
Like your perineum up behind the balls, it hurts?
Yes.
Okay. That is a spasm of the pubococcygeus muscle.
Of course.
You should see a urologist because it can be... You're only 18. I mean, it's not going to be... When older men, you can be associated with prostatitis and even prostate cancer rarely. But your age is just a muscle spasm.
Yeah, okay? It really hurts.
Yes, it's uncomfortable. Very really visceral. Bad. It feels like you want to almost throw up.
520, ranch it up.
You want a 520, ranch it up, bro.
What?
Get your balls from my shelf. Get your balls fixed.
Oh, my God.
Perineum,
yes.
I drink ranch, and I say 520 instead of 420. It's very stupid, but
I like it.
I like it. Hello, Steve.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Right. Here's the thing. I was with this girl for 3 years, and we recently broke up in November. And I recently saw the movie 40 Days and 40 Nights. I don't know if you guys seen it before.
Yeah.
All right. So I just decided, I'm still thinking about this girl. So I decided, I might as well do my own 40 Day, 40 Nights. I uninstalled it.
For those of you who don't know, Josh Hartnett, he goes for 40 Days and 40 Nights, which is Lent. He doesn't jerk off and doesn't have sex. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, I'm not gonna jerk off. I took off Instagram. I deleted Facebook. So then I'm not would this help me get over her?
No.
And also, would this?
No.
Huh?
No.
No, I wouldn't.
No. Come on now.
And is this bad for me? Me holding in this fluid, or
no,
am I just?
It's not bad for you. No. Not
it's not bad.
No.
Because I'm waking up with boners, morning boners every
day. Listen, God will take it out at night anyway. Don't worry. It will come out, whether you like it to or not. Okay?
I'm on day 3 right now. Should I keep going? Or I'm just putting myself through this torture.
I don't think it's going to do much for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right,
dude.
Peace. Rub one out, buddy.
Let's we don't have time to take Eric questions, but dude, thank you so much for joining
us. Yeah, thanks for having me. God,
honestly,
good job. Good job.
So many questions for you guys.
Well, then you need to come back.
We didn't even get to the bonobo thing, and there are no STDs.
Bonobos
don't have
STDs.
That's why humans can't be compared with bonobos. Bonobos do not get STDs. That's why they have unrestrained sexuality, because they don't get sick from it.
But okay, this
women would if we had it, women would die of urine infections, let alone STDs.
Well, isn't that because of bonobo dicks all dirty?
We don't know why they don't have STDs. They don't have them.
They don't have a single STD. What about just infection?
Die. They'd be dying. What about infection? They don't get urine infections. They don't get STDs.
Nothing.
Bears eat fish.
The bears eat fish.
Eric Andre, you're the man. Eric Andre Show, everybody should be watching it.
That's the smartest they get, though.
Friday,
think how dumb they'd be without
12:15 a.m. Friday mornings on the Adult Swim. And in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan. Executive producer Norm Pattis. Loveline is a presentation of Courtside Entertainment Group.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
The end of a perfect evening.
I've always admired your show.
Have you ever considered hosting your own talk show?
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.